May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Once there was a Sunday school teacher who gave her children the assignment to go home and learn Psalm 23. And they all had about a month to learn it. And then came the day when they stood up before the entire congregation and each child had to recite it one at a time. And then one little boy who had a particularly hard time got up and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I know." The congregation erupted in applause. Well, this fourth week in Eastertide, we typically meditate on Jesus being our good shepherd. And perhaps some of you may remember when we did our summer study on Christ as depicted in art over the centuries, that Christ as the good shepherd was one of the earliest portrayals that we see of Christ in Christian art. And the image of God as a shepherd over his people can be found throughout the Old Testament, as we see in the famous Psalm 23, as we read this morning. St. Peter takes this same image and applies it to Jesus in his letter this morning, as he encourages the churches in Asia Minor, reminding them how Christ rescued them from being wayward sheep who have gone astray. Even our collect for today is centered on Christ as the shepherd of our souls. But our gospel takes a slightly different tack. Today, Jesus calls himself the gate. Now, the image, of course, would have been familiar to the Israelites. A sheepfold is where a shepherd keeps his flock safe through the night hours from any predators that might come and stalk them. It also helped keep the sheep typically from being summarily pilfered by some nefarious rival that might decide to do so. The fencing that formed the sheepfold would hinder any person or animal that might have ill designs for these sheep. Plus, in Christ's image, as he gives it, a gatekeeper is keeping watch as well. We can definitely find spiritual safety as sheep in God's flock. Well, Jesus expands on the sheepfold image a bit as well. The shepherd calls for the sheep at the gate when it's time for them to find pasture to graze in. And the gatekeeper, of course, opens the gate so the sheep can go out by day and closes it when they come back for their protection overnight. Perhaps in that image we might have an oblique reference to the Trinity here. Christ as our entry point into safety. The Father is the long-cherished image of being our shepherd as attested to in the Law and the Prophets. And then the Holy Spirit as the gatekeeper easing our access through Jesus Christ. But the whole process of feeding, watering, shearing, healing, protecting, and generally caring for the sheep is captured in this image as well. The whole kit and caboodle. Every part of a sheep's life is accounted for in this shepherding image as our Lord describes it. Thus, while we tend to think of this symbolic teaching of Jesus as having more to do with eternity, Jesus has the whole picture of our life, from birth to death to finally our resurrection. He keeps that in the forefront of his mind. And that's why Jesus mentions an abundant life. The whole well-being of God's flock is in view of our Lord, not just one part of it. Now, many Christians make much of Jesus being the only gate. And indeed, it's not like that the average sheepfold had multiple points of egress to go in and out of. And I am inclined to agree that Jesus of Nazareth has a unique and inimitable role as the entry point to our spiritual well-being. In fact, our Lord's negative assessment of those messianic pretenders, past, present, and future, as no more than criminals, thieves, and bandits, as he says, reinforces that appraisal. But that doesn't mean that everyone comes to faith in the exact same way. Jesus' work in paving the way for our salvation, for the salvation of everyone who wishes to follow him as a whole, doesn't mean that he's unaware of the particular quirks and needs that we have as individuals. Some people have moments of dramatic transformation. Some people have a steady, lifelong period of growth. Some people have fits and starts. Some people go about plagued with doubts or worries, but still hold on. Some people have otherwise nondescript lives, except that their character reflects Christ's own love. Just because Jesus is the gate doesn't discount the myriad varieties of sheep that he may own, complete with their own weirdness, struggles, and personalities. There is no one right way to get to meet, know, and follow Jesus. But we should find him to be the gate that opens up a whole new way of life for us. Likewise, Jesus doesn't do his saving work alone. As I mentioned before, the shepherd and the gatekeeper are made note of as well. Plus, in the back of most agrarian Jewish minds of the time was the fact that shepherds often hired helpers or appointed close family to help take care of different parts of the whole pasturing operation. Just as the apostles carried on Jesus' teaching and ministry, as we read in Acts this morning, Jesus still sets apart under-shepherds, both clergy and laity, who bear various responsibilities in caring for God's people. In fact, our own baptismal covenant affirms that we are all ministers. We each have a role in expanding and ensuring the health of our good shepherd's flock. Our Savior shares the task of particular shepherding assignments with others to each of us, even less than perfect human beings. Imagine that, like you, like me. Of course, shepherding is a pretty involved process. Any pet owner, of course, can tell you that caring for your beloved dog or cat is not something you can slouch off on. It's not like you can take a sick day from feeding them or taking them outside if they need to pursue the call of nature. And as parents, we all get to see that in the caretaking responsibilities of children and multiples beyond that. Well, Jesus is well aware of the cost of caring for us, fallen human beings, as part of God's flock. He was even willing to die for us. But our Lord is more than able to handle anything that we might throw his way. Any wandering, he'll chase us down. Any spiritual predator, he'll protect us. Any hunger, he will bring us to green pastures. Any thirst, he'll quench us with living water. Any illness, he'll pick us up and carry us. Any confusion, he'll call us out to him, and as well, he will call us out and bring us to follow him with his own voice. That doesn't mean, of course, life will be easy. But if the psalmist can find comfort even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, we can rely on our triune God to lead, protect, and care for us every step of our lives, physically and spiritually. As we look to our good shepherd, our gate, our keeper, as part of God's flock, his people, his family, we can take comfort in knowing his love for us, a love that's both intimate and practical. God wants us to have good feelings for him, but more than that, he wants to ensure that we are being kept safe from harm and are availed a life that is abundant, filled with godly character, divine love, providence in this life, and a plentiful harvest for the life to come. He wants us to live the life that we have, sure of his safety, knowing his almighty care alone can avail for us. Jesus wants us to be able to stand before one another and boldly proclaim, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I know." Indeed, that's all we really need to know. Let us pray. Shepherd of souls, you have proven yourself more than able to provide for, protect, and rescue us. Grant us faith to enter your gate to spiritual safety, to listen to your voice wherever you lead, and to enjoy and share the bounty of the pastures where you lead us, that at the last we may find ourselves full of joy and confident in the knowledge of your boundless love that leads to an abundant and eternal life. Grant this, we ask, in your precious and mighty name. Amen.